episode of The Adrian Ross Show. And of course, if this is your first time tuning in to The Adrian Ross Show, welcome for the first time. I'm glad you're here. And we have a wonderful show today. As you have heard me say many times, if you have followed this show, I am a part of the BMG Network. And today, my guest is the owner, the founder, the man, the head of the BMG Network. His name is Kenny Burns, and he's going to be here with me today, and we're going to be talking about a whole lot of stuff. You're in for a treat. So here we go. Mr. Kenny Burns, I'm so glad to have you on the Adrian Ross Show.
It's good to be here, always.
Yeah, and you know, I had to wear the BMG Network, t-shirt because you're the BMG man. And as I told the audience before, you're the reason why I have an opportunity to do this podcast, because I'm doing it on the BMG Network. So thank you again. I get to tell it to you to your face.
Oh, it's so happy. And I'm so thrilled to see it becoming more successful every day. Not I don't mean BMG. I mean the people of the BMG. So yourself, of course, and seeing, especially, look, I know it's not all about views and stuff like that, but it really is in a sense, because the more people get their eyes on it, the more, you know, educated I think they get too. And you got some fantastic viewpoints that you, and perspectives that you've been bringing to the table, especially when it comes to lately it's been girls, women's basketball, which is super. It has. It's become super fascinating. So
it has been. And I was just saying to everyone that I spent the last several weeks talking about women's basketball, and I don't normally talk a whole lot about sports, and we won't really be talking about sports today, but it's been a pleasure being able to do that. And I believe that with the WNBA season coming up, there'll be more of that going on, I'm sure. But for today, I really wanted to have you on to just kind of shoot the breeze with you. We were supposed to have the whole team.
I know, and
it didn't work out, but I got the head guy, head honcho, because there's so much going on. The last time the team was on was when the Adrian Ross Show was celebrating 100 episodes, you
mm-hmm.
know? Yes. So it's kind of cool. It's been cool. It was cool then. And I'm enjoying this, even though it's just one-on-one, you know, without everyone else, but so much going on in the country. The election is in November, but there's a long way until November. And a lot just seems to be almost surreal, almost like science fiction, some of this stuff.
Yeah.
And obviously you're an American, you're a husband, you're a father. On a scale of 0 to 10, let me put it like that. On a scale of 0 to 10, how concerned are you with the state of the country?
In a fleshly, like normal, just living in society on planet Earth type of level, as far as watching what I see, concerned, my concern level would be probably a 10. As far as being a man of God and looking in that direction, this is not surprising at all. However, it's just, you don't know that you're going to see this kind of stuff in your lifetime. And then you do, and it becomes concerning, especially when you and I, we were raised in a different type of world where it was just different. And we were able to call things as they were as well. And you wouldn't get, you know, cast aside or pushed or put in some type of category or group. You just called it like it was. But now everything's becoming so sensitive that to the point of where you're going to get in trouble, or there's going to be consequences for you speaking your own opinion, which that's not okay. And that's not freedom of speech. And honestly, that's not allowing us to use our own brain and think for ourselves. And that's not okay either. So that's where I feel like society's become so robotic, where we have to follow suit. And it makes me wonder, especially, and I know you too, we've all been to these different countries and third world countries, and we've been on mission trips and all the time back in the day, I used to say, man, their government and their society is so corrupt. Mm. And now thinking about being in my own country, I'm like, our country is really corrupt.
Oh my goodness. No,
corrupt.
We're using the term lawfare now. And that makes what you said there makes me think about all the stuff that's going on with former President Trump.
Yeah.
And there are even people who are not necessarily pro-Trump, but they see what's going on. I mean, sports commentator Stephen A. Smith, he commented recently, just the other day, about what we see going on with these charges and the lawfare.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that all it shows is that they cannot, and he's no Trump fan, mm-hmm. okay? But he's saying that what the Democrats are showing is that they cannot beat him the right way, that they have to resort to tactics
yep.
to try to take him down. And he said it sends the wrong message and it's probably going to backfire. What do you think?
I hope it does backfire. Because you know what? And again, going back to my flesh, they deserve it. But I think if I want to be honest,
yeah.
But I look at, I don't, it's not about, I think everybody in this whole entire world, all of us are so imperfect. Number one, that's why we need a savior. He's the only one that can perfect us and we'll never become perfect. It's only because of the blood of Jesus Christ, of course.
Amen.
But when it comes to looking at the man of Trump, look at it. I can't stand it. It's like if people, okay, when it comes to Biden, we see his mental status, right? And I know we probably want to talk about that too, but it's not okay. I mean, that's the guy that's supposed to be running the country.
Yeah.
Put aside some of the other things. We can look through all the past history of how he's flip-flopped on all of his issues. And he thought gay was bad. And now he's like all completely the opposite direction. And what he said on Easter and all these different things.
Yeah.
But at least with Trump, and yes, I'm sure there's certain things that he's changed as well. But one thing that he does is that I think every country should do, and not to put other countries down, but they should be taking care of their own house. Like, and that's what yeah. Trump was doing,
yeah.
taking care of his own home, which would be America. Biden is not doing that. He's thinking about other places. He's thinking about his name. He's thinking about his son. He's thinking about his good standing. He's thinking about what's best for him and what's best for his, you know, people. And it's not helping our country at all. Look at our inflation is horrible right now.
Yeah.
Why would you undo all the things that Trump did? Is it just out of pride? Is it out of because there's another agenda that we don't know about? That's why I'm saying like the corruption is real. And I think there's certain things that we're just never going to know what goes on behind the scenes and why they do, where the money's going. It's all becoming immoral. It's becoming incredibly, it's a disservice to actual Americans. And again, I went over to other countries because I loved their country. I loved to be able to help them in their culture there. So, and when I went there, I did it legally. When I went there, I essentially assimilated. Like even when I lived in like Guatemala, for example, I learned their culture a bit. I learned how to speak their language because I'm not going to be like, hey, I'm here now. You speak my language. I'm English. Speak English to me. No, I wanted to learn. You know what I mean? So same thing when you come here. I mean, nobody's going to just let me into their country and do whatever I want. They check me out all the time. When you come here, you know, number one, you have so many people that are literally paying big bucks, like lots of money. They're really trying to do it the right way and they actually get turned down. So what do you say to the people that are being hidden? And then all of a sudden they're working and they're not even supposed to be here, but that just let them go. Okay. And now they get Social Security. Yep. Do they get to have all the benefits that most people don't get to have when they get older?
Yeah.
So I work in the healthcare industry. So when it comes and I see how it goes and I think to myself, I'm like, these people really do have it difficult. They're literally living on an incredibly tight budget. They have nothing. And now they're also getting, they need medication. They need all these other things too. It's really sad to think that other people are getting it scot-free when these people are like just making it by, really need help really bad, and they're not going to get it. So that's the kind of stuff that I think like, why? Okay, so I get it. You don't like certain things about Trump. You don't like, you know, whatever. But you got to ask yourself a question, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, whatever you want to call yourself. Be honest with yourself. Were you better off
that's it.
Under Trump mm-hmm. or were you better off now? Because those same people are complaining about their lives right now, where it's at and how bad it is, but they won't mention Biden. They won't mention the presidency. They won't mention anybody in that establishment. They'll only say that it's horrible situation right now. And then most likely probably blame Republicans.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. That doesn't make sense.
And that's, of course, that's the picture that the left will paint, you know. Here's the question, though, because you just pretty much summed up there's the inflation problem, the immigration problem, people who are from this country not having the opportunities that other people who are coming in illegally are having, et cetera. Is there a purposeful mindset to ruin the country? And I know we can't judge people. I'm just asking you what you think. And I say judge people, I mean, we can't read their minds, right? But is this purposeful? Is there some kind of evil, demonic thing that's to take us down? Or do most of these people think that they're doing the right thing?
I got you. I think, you know, so this can be used. I remember I wrote a paper on this in school. It was called For the Greater Good, but I used it in a good sense, not so much. But I feel like that term is used a lot when it comes to like the end game of what they're planning to do. It's for the greater good that we're doing this, though. Yeah, it's not okay now, you know, whether it's, you know, put aside, you know, what happened, the conspiracies or the possibilities of COVID or the vaccines or this or that. Is there a plan to all these different things? Is there something, again, is the wheels turning somewhere that we don't see it, where they're planning something to kind of see how society reacts, to see what, you know, what they can do, how they can control. I do think there's something to all of that. I really do. I think that they are trying to level the playing field. I think Obama started with Obama big time, where I think the reality was is he would really always tear America down. We weren't as great as we, you know, we say we're so great, but we're really not. We, you know, all these almost kind of like we shouldn't be. And it's like, okay, but why do you think everybody always comes to us for help then? Like, it's, and again, it's not a pride thing. It's really like, we want to be there to help you out. Okay. But we don't want to be taken advantage of. We don't want to take it. We shouldn't be taking advantage of anybody else. But unfortunately, I think that's what happens. And I mean, look, I don't know what the whole plan is. I see Israel and now Iran. And now, you know, of course you had, was it Gaza, all these places. And then of course you have Ukraine and you have Russia, and just to think about when you look at a map in the oceans, we're literally what, a couple football fields essentially away from Russia. I mean, everything is so close. The time is ticking, and who knows what's going to happen, but we need the right leadership that is capable mentally and has the right cabinet to be able to make really wise decisions that are rational and not feelings based. Mm-hmm. I feel like now, and like here I am using the feeling, but it really is the sense that I have, the sense that people are so, their foundation is emotional. Their foundation is just feelings based. And it's what I want now, where I feel comfortable and secure, not looking at America as a whole and if their actual security. I feel secure in this group. I feel secure in this group, whether that's transgender, whether that's gay, whether that's whatever. And so society has really played a role in confusing people. So I do think it's evil. I do think that there's a spirit there. It's confusion. It's that sexual immorality type spirit, the spirit of lust, all of those things are absolutely there, I believe.
Yeah.
That's a loaded answer. I don't know where I went with that, but that's...
No, you went right to, I think there's an evil agenda going on.
Yeah.
But you alluded to, now you didn't allude to, you said Biden is not, you know, you mentioned his mental status.
Yeah.
Who's running the country?
Not him.
You don't think so?
No, I don't.
Somebody's pulling the strings.
I do think so. Yeah, look at when you have like, what's his name? Is it Peter Ducey?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Do you hear how rational his questions are? They always kind of go the same way, but he's asking legitimate questions. And then when I listen to the answers, I just think to myself, I'm like, what a bunch of, you know, malarkey. Like that's, what do you like? Just answer the question and be honest, but she can't do that, because if she were to really answer the question, then, you know, it would give it away. And I think that's where her job is, though. So she does a very good job of deflecting that. So all power to her. Good job. You're making your money for doing the job that you were given.
Let me tell you, I had this thought the other day. I don't know how my mind works sometimes, but I had this thought of somebody asking her a question, Karine Jean-Pierre, yeah. Right? Asking
I can never
question.
Say her name, so I'm glad you did.
I know, right? KJP, right? I had this idea of someone asking her a question and just totally catching her in this whole, the nonsense that is this administration. Yeah. And then her trying to give an answer and then just standing there and going, you know what? I can't play this game anymore. I'm out.
She just quit.
And just running for the, you know.
You guys had me. You guys had me. I've been lying this whole time.
This whole time. And I'm done. I'm done.
Yeah.
And just leave it, you know, because man, what you know, sometimes she says certain things and I've heard people say, what do you expect her to say? Like, you know, it's just annoying though.
Search engines should be a place for you to discover the world and make your own decisions about what you find. That's why Luxel is improving your access to information. The new search engine eliminates search engine bias that gets in the way of your searches. You can filter results to lean right or left, and from there you can sort it by Luxel's algorithm, alphabetically, and by freshness. Plus, there is no price for privacy. Luxel is free and doesn't track you or sell your data. So check out Luxel. That's LUXXLE.com and take control of your searches.
You know, you mentioned the sexual morality and stuff, and this whole LGBTQ plus, you know, I can't even keep up with it all. That's out there now. The president really, really concerned people, angered people is a better way of saying it, because he basically annihilated Title IX.
Mm-hmm.
Title IX is supposed to be really for the protection of women,
mm-hmm,
against sexual discrimination. It's how women were able to play sports. It's how women were able to, you know, it started in 1972. It's how women would be able to go to college or even be able to study certain disciplines in college, et cetera. And it specifies it realizes that there are two sexes, and it's to make sure that there's no discrimination, and particularly for women. But Biden has decided on his own, this didn't go through a vote through Congress or anything, because we know that probably wouldn't have gone over, but he has decided that now, instead of it being against sexual discrimination, it's now about gender identity. And so now we've got this regulation that, you know, you can be a guy and you can be identifying as a woman that day, and you can go into the locker rooms, you can go into the bathrooms, you know, that the language is such now that if you quote unquote misgender someone, which means actually using the proper pronoun, then you can be in trouble, and you will be in trouble, because anyone getting federal aid is going to be held to account for this. This is dangerous. It's dangerous for women to allow some man to go into, Kenny, you're a father. You have a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so, can you imagine some man who gets off on stripping naked,
mm-hmm,
some boy, some senior in high school, some, you know, whatever,
yeah,
deciding that, you know, when your daughter's in high school, I'm just going to go in there and I'm going to take up all my clothes and I'm going to get off on that. What the heck are we doing? And how, as a father, do you wrap your brain around this?
Yeah, it's unconscionable. Like, it doesn't make any sense. It's not logical. I mean, it is in their mind. It's logical because they know exactly what they're doing. Mm-hmm. I really believe, look at this whole thing is, I mean, I'm a fan of, I like Jordan Peterson. I like his, I like the way that he just comes out with some brilliant answers. And one thing is like, if you stop society from thinking, and you make everybody kind of like level, like they say, level headed. So if everybody's thinking the same and they're in the same frequency, which we never really will be, then you literally have them exactly where you want them. You're controlling them. You're saying, this is exactly how you need to act. I'm telling you how to act. This is how it is. Take away your character, take away your personality. You're not allowed to have a personality. This is how we want society to live. This is what you're going to say, and this is how you're going to, what you're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, what's so sad about that is that these same people that, you know, cry wolf and cry this and cry that, especially the women, I'm so surprised by this. I'm like,
yeah, you know,
You know, you're darned if you do, darned if you don't. You don't want me to open that door. Just small steps here. You don't want me to open that door for you? Okay. Why didn't you open the door for me? Well, because you don't want me to. You can do it yourself. Well, then that's sexist. Okay. Well, no, it's not. You know, it's not. I'm actually, you said that you want to do everything on your own. You want to be just like a man. You can do more than they can do. You know, there's an inequality. Now, there's something a little bit to that, but when you look at it per dollar, most women, like, you know, the majority of them, they're either, if they are married, they want to be stay at home if they can, and with their kids, they want to raise their families, or they want part-time jobs. Look at men, when they started building this country, it wasn't because of like, oh, I want to suppress women. It's because men had that same thing that God gifted inside of us, is like, we want to take care of our family. So I'm going to go lay the bricks, or I'm going to go in the coal mines, or I'm going to go, not saying that the women can't do this, and there haven't been haven't been women that have done this. But for the majority of the part, we do that hard physical labor work so that they don't have to. And their job is just as important. But that's the kind of the way that we do it. And we take care of them. So same thing as a father now with my daughter, you know, I think about her going in there. I'm going to take care of her. I'm not going to let some crazy person, disgusting, disgraced, come in here and do something and say something or be inappropriate. I'm going to take that guy out if I have to. I don't, you know, I'm not saying kill, but I'm saying if I have to throw them down on the ground and throw some fists, then that's exactly what I would do. I don't care. Don't care what you call yourself. Get away from my daughter. But that's where I think it's coming to, is just like, we got to be risky. I think that's another thing that Jordan Peterson said one time too, is like, what are we going to start being afraid of, you know, of offending people? Every time you have a conversation, I'm already being offended by you telling me that I have to say something. So you already risked it by offending me. So you know what? Am I either going to sit this down and be like, well, that's, yeah, I'm now I'm kind of scared and I shouldn't do that. No, I'm going to stand up and say the same thing. Well, I don't agree with that. What's wrong with that? That's what our country is based on. If I don't agree with something, then I should be able to say it. Just like you don't have to agree with me, but at the end of the day, we can come to a rational decision, not a feelings-based decision or what's best for one particular group.
We've lost all, we don't have rational thinking
Not at
right
all.
now. I mean, listen, Kenny, let's just talk about the pronoun situation.
Yeah.
I'm hearing people say, I will not comply, you
Yeah.
know? But the thing is, they're weaponized, and I wrote about this too. There's a weaponization of language. And if you don't comply, you're not being, your rational thinking isn't respected. It's one thing when one person says, oh, I'm a woman when you're not, but now you're asking me to enter into the delusion as well.
Exactly.
And so where's my free speech? So now I have to call you this, that, or the other thing. It's a scary thing because I don't trust these people not to
Right.
have people out in handcuffs at some point,
Exactly.
not going along with the delusion.
You know, I remember I liken it back to high school. I don't know if you had some of this experience as well, but I remember I had some friends that all of a sudden, like one week they'd be gay, right? And it was a different time. That at that time we could kind of goof around and joke and even kind of make sly comments and stuff like that. Everybody was still friends, but like 3 months later they weren't anymore. You know, so the point is like, everybody has a right to make decisions. Now what happens though is like, again, it's kind of like an imitation game. Like the kids will imitate stuff. So my kid might not ever swear, for example, but then he gets around certain kids that might say you know, throw the F bomb or throw some other words in there. Next thing you know, you know, kids home, and which this has happened, by the way, that's why I'm mentioning it. All of a sudden I hear a word. I'm like, excuse me, what was that? You know, what did you just say? And well, it's not just my friends. Oh, I think it is your friends. I've heard the way your friends talk. When you're, you know, like the Bible says, corrupt, you know, what is it?
Evil communication corrupts good manners.
There it is right there. Exactly. Or corrupts good character. So who you hang out with is who you become. If you're more inclined to be around certain people that make you feel better about yourself, well, maybe you are a female. Maybe you are. You know, so now you start to question the same thing that, you know, again, go back to the garden, the way that Eve questioned the apple. It's the same thing. It's like you start to question things. When you start to get in that questionable state, when you had a solid answer before, you got to wonder, what you're doing and where you're going with this and what society is actually teaching you. Is that who you trust? The same society that you're frustrated with because of what they're kind of doing to you and suppressing you, you're still trusting them in certain other areas because it makes you feel good. Nobody's thinking anymore for themselves. They're just going to where what makes them feel comfortable, but day by day. They're not looking in the future. They're not looking anywhere else except for right here and right now. And that's what's super sad. So that's not helpful at all. And again, for you and I to be able to be told that we have to say it like that, you're changing Webster's dictionary. I mean, yeah. I'm sorry. He wrote that very specific. I think it was Pastor Chris Romano actually did a teaching on that one time. And it was fascinating about, maybe it was him. I don't remember, but we were talking, or maybe it was just a conversation, but it was super cool to think of him and the wording. I think he was a Christian or something like that. Is that true with Webster? I don't remember.
I'm not sure either.
I don't remember. So I'll be careful there. But either way, to start adding stuff to it and start to take away from it, what does that say? Then why? Now our curriculum in school is going to change too. That's the day that I'd say, hey, kids, guess what? It's your lucky day. You don't have to go to school no more. You're being homeschooled. I mean, yeah. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, because they want to corrupt, speaking of corruption, corrupt. Yeah. The minds of children. They're doing it with the pornography in the libraries. They're sexualizing them because that's always been the agenda. If you want to change a culture, you have to change the children.
Yes.
You know? And so now if you say to them, no, we believe men are men and women are women or whatever, then you are, as the parent, now seen as the evil one, the prejudiced one. And now children can divorce their parents in some places in this whole thing.
It's that old tactic by the KGB that it's ideological subversion or something like that. So I can't remember. I remember a long time ago, I did something about that. And it's true. You plant a seed and it takes very long time. It takes 10 years or whatever to grow. But it's when that seed's planted, the media starts to take place, you keep kind of reiterating that. And then once it starts to take off and it becomes normalized, that's where you've won. Now it's normal. That's the end game, is to normalize something that wasn't normal before.
Yeah.
So that's where we're at, I think, now in society too, is like, we know all these years and nobody was afraid to call it out either. This isn't normal. This isn't okay. Now it's like, don't say that it's not normal. Don't say it's okay, because that's offensive. Okay, so how's it offensive? I'm not knocking his character. I'm knocking the thought process and honestly the evil, and that's what that is. So I'm sorry. You want to call yourself whatever, that's fine. Just stay away from me then. Because we're not going to agree. Now, I've talked to, and I have no issue with having a conversation talking with, whether they're transgender, whether they're homosexual.
Absolutely.
At all. That doesn't bother me. Look, if you want to have, like, we can have a conversation about a movie and or whatever, but don't look at me and think that I'm going to be, we're going to have a conversation about what your change is. And I'm going to say, oh yeah, no, that's awesome. Congratulations.
Right.
It's not going to happen. I'm not going to be
congratulating. But that's what they're doing to the children now. And then they want to have the surgery and Biden administration is all about it. And there was a time when if a child said, I don't feel like I'm good enough as I am, there was a time when we would have told them, you are good enough.
Right.
Yeah. God made you. You have a purpose where you are. And then if they needed help and support, we provided that. We didn't validate their feelings of unworthiness by saying, yeah, you're right. Now change who you are. But for some reason, that's the way we want to handle the sexual thing. It's like, you know, like we're saying, yeah, we agree. You're not good enough. So go ahead and change it. Before we would have never said that. We would have said, you are good enough.
Yes.
You are worthy as you are.
Why do you think too? Why do we have such a mental health crisis on our hands? I'm not saying it wasn't there. But people, we dealt with it differently back in the day. I know that I have to put this caveat in there because I usually get yelled at nowadays, but I'm not against like people going and getting counseling. Nothing like that. That's just not the point.
Right.
But what I'm saying though is like, it wasn't as prevalent back in the day because people worked it out. People used their family members to come in sometimes and work it out with them, whether it was with marriage or just personal. I mean, look, I had, before I got saved, I had a good buddy who came behind my back, went to my dad and told him that I was suicidal. And so, and I was, And as a good friend, went to my dad came to me as a man and said, hey, can we talk? And you know what? I did end up going to counseling for a little while, by the way. And honestly, that ended up great. Straight after that, I found Jesus. But the thing is, though, is like, that's what I was longing for the whole entire time. I had a void. I didn't want to be here anymore. Yes. And I didn't understand why. Well, that's why. Now, don't get me wrong. Even the best of Christians out there, we're seeing it, unfortunately, depression and suicide and stuff too. Society and people are not helping the situation at all by just trying to have them do a physical change or, you know, a slight feelings type change. They're not getting to the root issue at all. They're only dealing with they're putting a Band-Aid on it and saying, now get back out there. But that's not helping at all. And I miss those days where we do that. I do that with my daughter now. Look at, she likes Taylor Swift or she likes certain things. And so she questions things like, Dad, do you think I'm as pretty as, I'm like, what? Do you see, you know, I mess around. You see Taylor Swift with all her makeup on, you know, I'm just joking. But my point is I'm like, you know, every day I make it a point to let her know that she's the most beautiful girl in the entire world. Like you don't need to change anything. If you put makeup on, great, but it just highlights your features that are already there, period. There's nothing you need to change about you. No, you're not fat. No, you're not this. And look, you hear this from young kids nowadays, like the drama in the girls these days too, is like, holy moly, it's real.
It goes both ways. Some think they're fat. Some think they're too skinny. Yeah. There's always that I'm not kind of good enough thing that good parenting brings back to what the truth is.
Well, that's what I think that in lies. I know that it starts in the family unit. It's the same thing we mentioned, just kind of recap back in the beginning. If you don't have your house in order, which Biden does not, this is the most chaotic country. We're living in chaos right now. Nothing makes sense. Like everything is devalued. Everybody's paying up the wazoo. The money that, you know, if I was making the same money now that I was back in, you know, during either Trump or even back in like 2007 or 2010, whatever, we'd be doing very well.
Yeah. But trust me, I get it.
I feel like we're doing good, but like at the same time, it's like, man, oh man, why is it still always so just slightly tight? Like we're just always just like, you know what I mean?
I do. I do.
Yeah, it's because it's ridiculous is what it is.
Yeah. And then they want to kind of gaslight people. Oh yeah, you're doing better than you think you are. How can you tell me I'm doing better than I, you know, please stop gaslighting me, right?
Yeah.
Everyone wants to take their automobile somewhere they can trust. That's DL Transmissions. DL Transmissions was recently recognized and featured in the Transmission Digest magazine, a worldwide publication for transmission repair shops. You can check out their article at www.transmissiondigest.com. Then look under magazine archives and choose July 2023. DL Transmission specializes in custom-built, heavy-duty, and high-performance applications, as well as remanufacturing and transmission repair. Call them at 573-334-8726. My local audience, have you gone to a Guardians of Liberty meeting yet? Well, it's time. Remember, Guardians of Liberty meets every Tuesday at 5 o'clock p.m. at Delmonico's in Jackson. And they're in the midst of a five-part series. On Tuesday, April 23rd, they will be doing the third video in the Governed versus Governing documentary series. And the series will be April 23rd, May 7th, and May 14th. Those are the remaining dates. During this series, you will see ranches out west deal with issues and resulting events as the Federal Bureau of Land Management encroaches upon their God-given freedoms. So check it out. And every week, they have engaging, insightful speakers coming to Delmonico's at 5 o'clock in Jackson. Yeah. All right, I want to shift a little bit because you said something that jumped out at me. You talked about how, you know, a father or a husband or a man is, you know, generally kind of his job to want to take care of.
Yes.
You
know?
And I want to show you a short news clip.
Okay.
And then I want to ask you a question afterwards.
Got it.
It was just before 3 in the 5600 block of South University. Maddie says a confrontation happened and the suspect demanded her phone before flashing the gun. The pair got into a tussle. I was grabbing for maybe my phone, maybe the gun. It's really like a blackout moment for me. And I realized that I was able to grab the magazine out of the gun.
The loaded magazine, now in police custody, Maddie says, and she hopes it will help solve the crime.
I think we can always ask for more from our campus and our city.
Maddie says she hopes fellow students and staff are vigilant and keep their guard up. When all said and done, she says her reaction was a knee-jerk one, and she's thankful to be okay.
I couldn't necessarily really register the threat ahead of me, so definitely wouldn't advocate for fighting back. Losing a life over a phone is definitely not worth it.
Okay, I'm kind of putting you on the spot here.
Fine.
What do you notice about? What stands out?
That guy run away that was sitting on the lawn? What the heck is he doing? Are you serious?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking that you were going to say. This guy, what was he doing the whole time?
I'll add to the story. I'll give you a real life scenario. Personally, my sister-in-law was just telling us a story about a few weeks ago. She broke up a girl fight, right? And they were really about to go at it. And she came in and she didn't know. She's like, I don't even know what I was going to do. She's like, I'm like, what is going on? I'll tell you, male and female, you know what the first thing they did was? Pulled their phones out to videotape.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's the society that we're living in today. So yeah. That's disgusting. Back in the day, that wouldn't have happened. Somebody would have jumped in and made sure it pulled the neck and brought him back and said, knock this stuff off. What's going on here type of thing? Or save somebody's life or jumped in front of there. She even looked at him in that video. It was kind of like, are you going to help me here? What are you doing?
He's literally just sitting there. And then he gets in, he gets up and he runs.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about what you said. What? I guess there are two sides to this. One is, what kind of man are you?
Yes.
I mean, I don't even think he's videoing. He's just sitting there and then he gets up and he runs. And this girl is being attacked by this guy. He was, trying to rob her. Yep. She's got to take the gun, get rid of the magazine. She actually threw it in the bushes, and he's still out there somewhere. But that's number one. But number two is this. We're seeing more of that happening. And I hear that I don't know about this situation, but in some of this stuff, when people do come to the defense of other people, they end up, like happened on the subway, I guess, in New York City, they end up locked up and fighting for their freedom.
Yep.
So, I mean, I heard Sarah Gonzalez from The Blaze, it's now called Unfiltered, and her podcast, and she said, listen, I've had this conversation with my husband before, and I've had to say to him, I love that you would, I know your heart would be to help people, but your first priority is to your family. And I can't have you out there trying to defend somebody, and then we don't have you. What say you?
So I always question this too, and I, because, we hear this a lot, even in the military. In the military, you get these people that are there, and look, we don't know the full story. For the most part, though, you hear these stories of where these guys were literally, something happened and they needed to defend, or they thought the guy had a bomb. They ended up shooting somebody who's probably not a good person anyway, but they end up in prison, in military prison because of that. And now they have to fight to get out of prison. And they were just, that's in military. I know it's a little bit different, but like when you're there, it's like, okay, everything is war there. So that doesn't make any sense to me if he's trying to defend his guys. But then same thing here. This is our country. Mm-hmm. If you're not going to act according to the law, which we have laws, of course, everybody breaks them nowadays. You can come in this country any way you want to.
Right.
It's encouraged. You can, don't, again, back to the pronouns things. This is what you're going to say and you don't, you're in trouble. But don't stick up for the person who's being bullied by those people. Because remember, I feel like all these groups that are being created on those sides are actually, they say everyone else that's like 90% of the country are the hateful ones, but they themselves are creating hate groups. They hate anybody who doesn't agree with them.
Right.
That's what happens. That's a hate group. Okay. So you say that everybody should live equally and be loving and get along and stuff like that. Yet, as long as it's according to your standards that you just created, by the way, in the last 10 years. So,
minutes ago.
Yeah. So don't worry about the morals that have been standing the test of time that God put in place. scratch that. You just created this in the last, you know, again, like you said, in the last 10 minutes, that's how we need to live by. And if you don't, guess what? You're going to be in trouble. And even though it's not necessarily law, it is now because of Title IX. But that's what the problem is. And honestly, the question is like you said, is, are we teaching our children to do that? I hope to God, my boys would step up for my daughter or somebody else, you know, in that case. I don't know. I hope they don't even have to ever, but the thing is though, is I would take that chance. I feel like a life is worth saving, you know, and that's by the way, I want to make this clear, whether they were gay, straight, transgender, no matter what, if Absolutely. They were being threatened, guess what? I would put my life on the line for them because Absolutely. I care about that person. I really Absolutely. Do. Yeah. So again, it doesn't matter to me. They're a human being. So that's the problem. And that's what's so super sad to me is we're literally being controlled. I won't even get into taxes. That ticks me off too. That's a whole other subject, but everything we do is like, literally like you get a slap on the hand. They're just always looking to find something you're doing wrong. Is that the kind of society we want? Could you imagine living in your own home and you had somebody in your house all the time that was always just looking for the things you're doing wrong, so they could tell you about it or let you know, like, that was not okay. That's not okay. That's not okay. Hey, that's not okay. Don't do that either.
But meanwhile, we have people in New York City and other places who are doing legitimate wrong, you know, things.
Yes.
And they continue to do it because they know.
That's all they get.
They just get released right back out to do it over and over again.
I want to get your opinion because I think you're going to ask me this, but you mentioned earlier 2024, the election is coming. I feel like this has been the longest 4 years in history. It's like, it's just, I'm like, is it not November yet?
Really?
Oh my gosh. So I'll just say this, you know, lots of trials of tribulations for President Trump. His lawyer is a fighter. She's super fascinating. I love hearing her. She's a spitfire. But again, you mentioned it, anything that you can do to deter, like, that, it should be the people deciding what they want, not them trying to distract, accuse, do all these different things, go after anybody who's, you know, with that side. That's incredibly, like, if people aren't concerned about that, they should be. That's the kind of country we want to live in, that's how we fight. Like, we try to pin people against other people. Look at, if something's wrong and the people say they don't like it, that this is our country. It doesn't feel like it though. It does not feel like it, especially when I feel like we're paying, that our money literally goes to paying people's salaries and paying other countries instead of our own. Anyway, so does he have a chance in 2024? I think he does. I hope.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think he does also. There are people who were not on the Trump train, so to speak. I don't like to use that term because it kind of sounds like fanaticism, and that's not what I'm advocating. But I mean, there are people who certainly were even anti-Trump, and they've given him a look now. Yeah. And part of it is because they're looking in their pocketbooks. They're going to get gas. They're going to the grocery stores. They're asking the question you asked earlier. Am I better off now than I was, you know, 4 years ago? And anybody who ain't lying is going to say that, you know, that's just not the case, you know, or the country as a whole. So so some people are looking toward him. And I think honest people recognize that what's going on is if he weren't running for president, this stuff would not be happening. Before he ever was president, people loved Trump. Now he's just the most horrible person on the planet, according to some people. And so I think there are people who are just like, you know what? And I've read some things on social media. I wasn't voting for him, but I'm voting for him now because this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And this opens the door. What's going on opens the door. We don't, people who are celebrating it, you understand, you're next.
Right.
You're next. Yep. Now, from what I understand though, polling shows that if he is a convicted felon, there are some people who have said, polling suggests that they're kind of in this camp, but they can't bring themselves to vote for a convicted felon. Now, I heard, I don't remember who it was, but I heard someone on Megyn Kelly's show when she pointed that out. He brought a point. She said, I hadn't thought about that. He said, I truly believe that they will. The people who aren't, like, they don't want to say that they won't. They don't want to say, yeah, I'll vote for a convicted felon.
Yep.
They don't want to say it. Just like there are people who support him will never tell anybody that they do.
Yep.
So,
right. Exactly. Because,
yeah. So, I think he can. I'd like to see him. Well, he's Trump. You know, I'd like to see him be humble and, you know, and in ways that he's not. But I hope I hope the lawfare backfires. It's the thought of it, though. It makes me wonder how the country will respond if he is reelected, because I am concerned about that. Although we can't do Biden again. We certainly cannot.
No, look, I can't understand how it can be, how anybody can even tolerate it, or how it can be, how you can, what's the word, make it palatable. Like doesn't make any sense. Like, they got the people know, even on the left know that he's just out to lunch. It just, that's the bottom line. And look at, Trump has all his faculties there. He's on par. And he always surrounds himself with people that will do get the job done. So I think that that's what we need as a country. It just doesn't make any sense to me. It's not logical. It's not like, we keep using that word rational. It's not. So hopefully the right decision comes down. You know, that's the bottom line. And these same people that are like pointing out everything from 40 years ago, you know what I mean? Are the same people that if we look at their record, it's like, you have some questionable things that like, well, it's more of a question. Shouldn't you be on trial too? Like, you know, if we're pulling, all of us have some type of skeletons from our past. That's why there's called forgiveness. That's why there's called change. People change every 7 years or whatever it is. So I don't know.
Some people change a lot more I don't know which one we're getting, right?
Yeah.
But you know, Trump has his faults, and there are things that I wish were different, and he's certainly not perfect, and none of us is perfect. But when I look at what's in front of us, I think it's just a no-brainer.
Same here. Hey, so who's your VP pick?
I don't have a comment on that one. I think for the most part, I have who's not my VP pick kind of thing.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel. I almost feel like I am, in the back of my mind, I feel like I know who you would like to see in there, which I think we might be on the same line. We'll have to talk off camera sometime about that. But you know, I see a lot of them on there, but they don't, I don't know. Like, we'll see what happens. He's smart about it though. I don't think he's going to pick somebody that's going to be overbearing. And I don't think he's going to pick somebody that's, going to have a lot of baggage either. So we'll see what happens.
I just hope he doesn't pick the, you know, politically correct kind of thing. I hope, and I'm not saying that, I mean, if the politically correct one is the correct one,
then
fine, but not to check off boxes.
Right. You know?
I don't want that. And I also think it's important to pick someone who, I know a lot of people have been saying like, Tulsi Gabbard and stuff like that. And I got in a little bit of trouble. Someone got upset with me because I said I would not pick her. And it has not, and it's just that I think that we are in such a serious state that we need someone who's been tested. And I know that she, you know, she left the Democrat Party, and, you know, and people change, and they're, but I just want, you know, you need some time. I need to see a record of holding to conservative principles. Not to say she couldn't be good, but now's not the time to find out she couldn't.
Right. Exactly. And we look at, there's a few out there that have a very, like, very solid record of conservatism, like, that's there. And I'm hoping that's the route he goes, and we'll I guess we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I know you are a man of faith. As we wrap up, it looks bleak. And I mean, how do you walk? I mean, you recognize the times we're living in terms of the evil, in terms of, you know, men who are not stepping up, in terms of the Biden administration, the taxes, I mean, all of it. We could go on and on and on. And yet you're a man of faith. So how do you reconcile it all to have hope to instill that in your family? How do you balance all that?
Sure. I think the biggest thing is, you mentioned it already, but I think we have two options. You can literally wake up every day and live in fear, or you can literally live by faith. And I think what I instill in my kids is being brave. So what is bravery? It's being scared is fine, but it's still doing it. It's still walking through and doing it anyway. So yeah, is it scary a little bit? Because you're like, I wouldn't want to do anything that's going to jeopardize me being not in the home. Like, for example, if I did something that would send me away because I didn't do what society told me I should do, even though it was not the right thing to do morally. But I'm still most likely, hopefully, if I ever encounter that, would do the right thing. And hopefully that would show everybody that, like, look at, you can think whatever you want to think, but I did the righteous thing. And that's what I'm going to stand on at the end of the day, whether people agree with it or not, because it's like, oh, you could have did it differently. You could have just, people judge people in certain situations when they're not even in it. So we can judge from an armchair, but until you're actually in it and you're really doing it, I mean, who knows, you know? So I think, again, when I come to same thing with my kids, again, you're not going to be a failure ever unless you quit. And so let's not quit. Let's not quit on people. Let's not quit even on the hope of, you know, of course we always have hope in Jesus Christ. We always have hope even in what God's given us on this earth. Like, yeah, it's not supposed to get like perfect. It's not, that's why Jesus is coming again. But in the meantime, we still have a choice to do the right thing. And that right thing should be a righteous decision. Not saying that I always make the best decision.
Right. Yeah.
I don't.
Right.
I certainly want to. That's the bottom line. And I think if we start to lose the wanting of to do the right thing, if we start to lose the conviction of doing, that's where the problem lies, because we're starting to let our heart kind of just deteriorate and let the world kind of creep in. That's a problem.
Yeah.
That's where I think it starts.
I think it's so, you said a mouthful there. And I also think it's
really,
no, I mean, when I say that, I mean, you said a good thing there. I think that we're living in a time where Christians are not going to be afforded to just say, let's go along to get along. We're going to have a backbone, and we're going to have to put our feet down, because some people equate being silent and going along with things as being holy.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking that's not holy.
No.
Holy might look like fighting back. And I don't mean against attacking people. Like you mentioned something a few minutes ago, you know, whether they're LGBTQ or whatever, we love people.
Yes.
We love you enough to tell you what God says about you, how beautiful you are, how you're created in his image. And so we're going to have to be a people who understands that there may be a time like, you know, I'm not complying with this. I don't know what that's going to look like, but I have a feeling it's coming, and we need everybody on board who knows the Lord. For sure.
Exactly. Exactly. I couldn't say it any better. You're exactly right.
All right, Kenny, thank you so much for being on the show. I really enjoyed our conversation. It was, we thought there were going to be much more people, but we held it down really well.
It was great. It's awesome being on this show. I love this show, and I'm so glad that you are. I'm so glad you said yes. So it's so cool
that you asked.
Going. Yeah, of course. So God bless you, Adrian, and thank you
God
so much.
God bless you too. All right. Thank you, Kenny.
All right.
How cool that was to be able to just shoot the breeze a little bit with the head, the founder, the editor, the owner, the everything of the BMG Network, Kenny Burns. So thankful to just be able to just bounce off of him the various things going on in the nation. So it was really our own little State of the Union conversation. So glad that we had an opportunity to do that. And I just want to encourage you to go to the BMG Network at thebmgnetwork.com and check out the other podcasters there. Because as I always say, we are engaging, enlightening, informative, and yes, even entertaining. So thebmgnetwork.com. Also am asking for your support at my Substack, which is adrianross.substack.com. And you can subscribe so that you can check out the podcast there, as well as the writing that's housed there. on my Substack. So adrianross.substack.com. Appreciate your support. Appreciate you subscribing. Hey, if you're watching on YouTube, please make sure you follow. Make sure you subscribe, okay? And then also, hey, if you're not watching on YouTube, go to YouTube and then subscribe there and then share with other people. And of course, the podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, all those things. If you would subscribe and if you would leave a rating and a review, I would appreciate it. I'm just going to say it right now. If you are a friend of Adrian Ross and the Adrian Ross Show and you haven't subscribed or you haven't left a rating and a review, I got to say, what's going on? Right now, you can go to YouTube and subscribe. Right now, you can go to a podcast platform and you can subscribe and go the extra step. Help a sister out. Leave a rating, leave a review, and we can converse, right? At least you can converse with me and let me know what you're thinking. And of course, you can email me at adrianrosscom@gmail.com. Much, much, much appreciated. So thank you for tuning in to this episode of The Adrian Ross Show. I'll catch you next time. God bless you abundantly.